The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
Live from West Babylon, New York, this is Sports Talk 1240.
Yo, welcome everyone to the second hour of Sports Talk 1240. Tonight, Sunday, November 13th, my name is Mike Vivolo. I'll be with you for the next hour. I'm happy to be back at WGBB. Some of you listeners may remember me from this summer where I hosted a show on WGBB called The Sports Sizzle. I'm now happy to be here on Sports Talk 1240, holding it down Sunday nights. I'll be appearing on some random Sunday nights. I'll get the schedule out to you guys as soon as I can. Follow me on Twitter at Team Vivolo. You can still follow the Sports Sizzle, and that's me, and that's my antics throughout New York State and the tri-state area, attending sporting events and having a good time. You can see it on the YouTube channel, the Sports Sizzle TV. So, New York, Long Island, what's up? What is happening? Sunday night, an amazing day in the NFL today. We'll get to that. We'll get to the Jets and the train wreck, which is the gangrene right now. We'll get to the Giants and what today's results mean for them going into tomorrow night's matchup with the Bengals at the Meadowlands. At MetLife Stadium. I still call it Giants Stadium or the Meadowlands. We'll get to that. We'll get to some Knicks, maybe, if we have time. We'll also bring on a New York Rangers correspondent later on to talk some New York Rangers hockey, which is the hottest team in New York by far, easily. They're the one that if you're a New York sports fan, you're hanging your hat on the Rangers. But first, the big event now in New York. Now, I don't know who out there is a big MMA, mixed martial arts, UFC fan, but last night marked an historic moment for New York sports and for the UFC, being that it was the first sanctioned, legalized, whatever you want to call it, fight in New York at the Garden. Huge card. In a couple of minutes, we're going to have an interview with Long Island's own Chris Weidman, who was on that card. He was nice enough to make some time for us earlier in the week. He's a four-time champ, and he fought last night, and we will play that interview for you in just a moment. But first, I want to tell you about my experience at this UFC fight. First of all, I'm a celebrity junkie, athlete kind of junkie. That's why I'm here doing this show. It's kind of a passion of mine. I love meeting these people, interacting with them. You can see it on my YouTube channel, Sports Sizzle TV, that we have a lot of fun when we do it. Last night was insane. I don't know how to describe it. See, I go to football games. I go to baseball games. I go to basketball games. And every now and then you'll find me at a hockey game. But I've never been to, and I've been to boxing matches, but I've never been to anything like this. So I've never been to a UFC fight, never been to an MMA fight ever. My first experience was this insane, colossal, Super Bowl type atmosphere event. All week long, the Garden, I go in and out of Penn Station every day. The Garden or Penn Station was crawling with, you know, Conor McGregor fans. Very, very, how can I put it nicely? Passionate people. Passionate about Conor McGregor, who was, you know, was the main card last night with a very convincing win over Alvarez. I'm still learning UFC. I'm still learning the MMA in general. I don't do it myself because I wouldn't last 10 seconds. But the crowd, let me tell you the crowd at this place. It was unbelievable. First, we roll up. I went with a buddy of mine. We roll up. There's all this. Like I said, it was very Super Bowl-esque. We rolled up, and we first saw the reigning heavyweight champ, MMA heavyweight champ. So, you know, boxing, you like featherweights and flyweights, and they have the same kind of weight classes in the UFC, but these guys are like super, they're just like insane shape. You think basketball players, everyone says, oh, basketball players, best athletes in the world, they can run up and down the court and they're in insane shape. Yeah, sure, of course they are, but they can't take a 1,000-pound pressure leg kick off the knee and keep going. And the stuff that I was seeing last night and you know, in the last couple of weeks looking at, researching it, it was, I mean, these guys are like warriors, man, really in there. So we ran into this dude. His name is Stipe Miocic. He's from Cleveland. He's hanging out. He's wearing a Cleveland hat. So I go up to him. I go, yo, what's up? So this is the soundbite I'm going to play. This is Steve Miocic. This is the current heavyweight champ. And we talked a little bit about Cleveland. It's short. Here, check it out.
WGBB. Listen, bro. Cleveland's been hot this year. We've been real hot.
It's always been hot.
Right? No, Cleveland's been cold. But today has been hot, right? So your boy LeBron, is he bringing home this year? Back to back?
We were burning last year. To bring you lots more coming your way right here.
Yeah.
Yeah. The leader up here. Make sure
they're going to call a prediction right into here? Let's give it.
Yeah, Cavs are going to win the title this year. No question about it. They're going to be going to see it again. Cleveland is going to win the World Series. They're going to go to the World Series. They're going to win it again. It's about watching that year. It's about to surprise a lot of people. Oh, I'm going to keep banning him for a long ass time.
So you heard him right there. Big Cleveland fan. You can see he knows what he's talking about. I love how he's throwing at the end. He's going to keep the belt for a long ass time. So he's predicting Cavs championship again, beat Golden State again. We'll see about that. I mean, Cavs are probably going to come out of the East. And he's going to predict the Indians going back to the World Series. So that was Steve Miocic. He's the heavyweight champ. We had a lot of fun. This was, I suggest, I mean, the ticket was, it was really expensive, whatever. It was hard to get into. We had to make some, we had to pull some strings. But what intensity. I mean, even just walking the hallways is bananas. So like I said, I'm a celebrity junkie, like athlete junkie. I like to mix it up with these people. So this is a short list of who I ran into last night. So Steve Miocic. It was a funny guy we ran into. If you guys remember the Jersey Shore, that crazy show on MTV a couple years ago, that dude Roger, who I guess is now married to one of the characters, Jay Wow, he was hanging out. He was loved because Roger's like this big, tattooed up, like big, like meathead-y type of guy. And that's what these fans are like all into, like, Roger. So Roger is walking the hallways with Todd Frazier from the White Sox, who hit like 40 home runs this year, like a perennial all-star, won the home run derby last year in Cincinnati. We used to play for the Reds for a long time. No one paying attention to Todd Frazier. I mean, this guy's one of the top, hitters in the major leagues. He's walking with Roger from the Jersey Shore, and the entire crowd loves Roger from the Jersey Shore, and they don't even know it's Todd Frazier. I was like, yo, I think that's Todd Frazier. So I hop up to Todd Frazier. I was like, yo, Frazier, what are you doing here? This is what he said.
Not every day is a home run, champion, man. What are you doing here, man?
Frankie Edgar all day.
Oh, Frankie Edgar. All right, bro.
So he was a big Frankie Edgar fan, who's like another fighter from the UFC. So you don't realize who is into this stuff because it's the first time it's in New York, and it's a big event. So you can have random people come up. So we saw him. Who else we see? We saw for you Jet fans. This is who we ran into. I'm not gonna play the clip of we don't have a clip from him, but we have his famous clip. If you can guess who it is before I play it. You tweet at me right now, 908, if you can guess a famous audio clip from a Jets player who may be into the UFC, who was there last night hanging out, who's retired. This is it right here.
To all the non-believers, especially you, Tom Jackson.
Remember this guy?
We have our back, Keyshawn. Anybody can be beat. Feel great. Poetic justice. We know we were a much better team than we came up and represented ourselves. And we're pissed off. We're just ready to come back and show what kind of defense, what type of team this was, what kind of character we had. We take a lot of slack. People gave us no chance, like we barely made a playoff. We're a good football team.
It looks like this team played with anger all day. Why, Bart?
For all you non-believers, disrespect us. Talk crap about the defense like we're the third best defense in the league. All we hear is about their defense. They can't stop a nosebleed. 25th in the league, and we didn't want to get disrespected.
Congratulations, San Pittsburgh.
Can't wait.
And that, of course, is Bart Scott, one of the most famous quick little audio clips of the last couple years. His interview with Sal Palantonio. That'll be on forever. So Bart Scott's hanging out at the bar. We're talking to him for a little bit. We saw Elsa Hosk, who, if you don't know who that is, look her up. She was Victoria's Secret supermodel, whatever. Stephen A. Smith was there. Swiss Beatz was there. I probably missed a ton of people that were there in the crowd. You couldn't get to everyone. But it was a scene, man. Let me see if I can find a clip from one of the. Yeah, this is great. This is one of the people that we talked to, random fan, but this is the passion. I mean, this passion, wait a minute, you know what? I'm not going to play this because it's not edited. It's not edited. So this isn't going to get played. So anyway, it was amazing. It was amazing to get to feel the energy in that place. So it was really cool. I would look forward to going. I will definitely go to the next UFC event that's in the garden. There's probably one coming up. I'm not sure, but I'm sure there's one coming up. Like I said, our native son of Long Island, Chris Weidman, fought. Unfortunately, he didn't win his fight, but it was, he had friends and family out there. So I'm going to play, our interview with Chris Weidman, Long Island's own. He's, been in the UFC for a long time. He's an ex-wrestler. He has, his coach is Sarah, this guy Sarah, who has a couple mixed martial arts training gyms, one in Garden City, one in Huntington, one in Levittown, I think. So this was Chris, and again, I appreciate you. Chris, if you're listening, hopefully, good effort last night, man. We were all pulling for you. I'm sure you'll get back stronger than ever. This is our little interview that we did the other day. Again, keep in mind, this was before the fight. So here we go, Chris Weidman.
First things first. Before we jump into all the other questions I have for you, how are you feeling, man? How's the neck? How's the knees?
Everything's great. I feel amazing. I had that neck surgery in June, and literally like 2 weeks out, I felt almost like 100%. And then obviously I was crapping myself before you do a neck surgery. But we found a great doctor who did a real non-invasive surgery, and they did an amazing job. 6 weeks out, I was completely cleared to do anything I needed to do with the doctor, and so I've had a lot of training in it now since then, and my neck has never felt better in a very long time.
Cool, man. That's great. So training's been going well. What? Give me like a little inside, because, this is a pretty crazy sport, and, it's been around for a while, but it's becoming a lot more mainstream. What is some of the, is there like a kind of a crazy kind of training regimen you go through? What's something that our audience might not know that you do for a training?
Tanning, haircuts. shaving of the armpits, the manscaping, stuff they probably don't know. But the things they do know and probably more interested in is, I train, obviously we train a lot. Usually I train like two or three. I've always trained like two or three times a day, hard, trying to kill myself, everything from the wrestling, jiu-jitsu, boxing.
Damn.
Martial arts, you got the strength and conditioning, you got physical therapy, you got recovery, like massage, cryotherapy. Probably missing some things right now, but there's a lot of things we have to cover in order to be a good fighter.
Right. So I want to talk to you about this guy, Yoel Romero. I don't really know him that well. Your opponent on Saturday, he also has a wrestling background. So getting into that sort of, knowing that, studying your opponent, what do you take for him? Like, what are some of the things that you've seen that you're going to, at least try to do when you're in there and get in there with him and start messing it up?
He's very explosive, very good wrestler. He's very potential. He's a silver medalist in the Olympics.
Right.
Good athlete, powerful in his hands. He brings a lot to the table, but I feel like he does get tired, and I'm way longer than him. He's a short, stocky guy, so I'll
right.
have the opportunity to range, and I keep it at the end of my punches and kicks, and when he does explode in, it could leave him open to take down and different things like that, and he does tend to get a little bit more tired, so the more activity that's going on in the octagon, I think he's going to be a better thing for me.
Good, yeah, that sounds good, man. That's awesome. So, many of our listeners might not realize that you were pretty, active in pushing for the MMA to be legalized in New York. So congrats on that. I know we're all excited about that, the fans of the UFC and the MMA, in general. What has been the reception like? Cause I know you were like up in Albany. You were really doing it, right? You were really part of it. Hard.
Yeah. I traveled to Albany a bunch of times over the last couple of, maybe four years. Went to Albany a bunch, went to Syracuse, Rochester, Buffalo, Barclays Center, Madison Square Garden, all multiple times to give like speeches and talk to assemblymen and
senators.
Even I spoke to the governor a few times on the phone.
Oh, wow.
He was really a lot in order to try to get this thing legalized. And for a while, it was just every year, every time I would talk to these senators and all the politicians, everyone was like, oh, no, it's going to pass this year. There's nobody really opposing it. No question. And then all of a sudden, it wouldn't pass. And I'm just like, what's that? It doesn't make any sense.
How long were you at it?
Probably about 4 or 5 years. I mean, 4 years.
Wow. Yeah. Well, congratulations. That's awesome. We're really excited to see us on Saturday. So, I mean, you're a Long Island guy. You grew up here. You live out here now. When you're not training, which obviously is a full-time job, 2-3 times a day, that's crazy. But say after this fight, you can take a couple days, you're going to take a couple weeks, a couple days off, months off, whatever. Where can I find you on Long Island? Where are you hanging out?
Ah, man. Honestly, my favorite place to be in the world, my backyard and a pool. But I just moved to a new house. Maybe I'm going to be outside. Maybe I'll be somewhere else. But I'm married. I got 3 kids. So you're not really going to see me out at the bars or the clubs.
A little bit ago.
But I can tell you one thing. You're going to see me in Passion in Carl Place. It's an Italian restaurant place. The deli is in Garden City because my gym's in Garden City. I'm all over there quite often.
Okay.
Six Hills now, so I'm... Deli's, pizzerias, I mean, there's a good chance you might see a bagel place.
Hey, man, you're training 2-3 times a day. You can go to any deli you want and get whatever you want. Tell me about Sarah. Tell me about your relationship with Sarah and the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu place. Are you training over there, the one in Huntington? You stop by in there?
Yeah, I go to his school in Huntington and Levittown. You know, he's my coach. We were a teammate. Point and he retired, and now he's my coach, and he's one of the big reasons I even got into the sport, being a Long Island guy. You know, the success he had, all the pride he had doing it for Long Island, it made me want to, you know, do something along the same line. So I'm lucky to have him around, and we train all the time.
That's awesome, man. I definitely got to stop in there because I'm really close to that location, in the Huntington location, so that'd be cool to get in there and see what you guys do. I mean, I would think that pretty much. I think I'm going to try to go Saturday night. I'd love to be there and see this thing because it's a really historic event. But honestly, it's really scary to me, dude. I mean, you guys are like, pretty much the best athletes in the world. Like, to take what you do and just thinking about getting in there and being able to avoid half. I mean, half of it seems like it's avoiding contact and really using every single muscle up and down. So it's very impressive. You know, I wish you all the best of luck. I do want to, before we wrap up, I do want to mention that I did see you on this Kevin James show the other day. You were the cop on the show, right?
Yes. On Kevin Can Wait on CBS, I had my first acting debut. It was an amazing experience. I was the guy who was on the same screen as Adam Sandler and Kevin James with these two comedic legends and legends in general. I was kind of like the hot guy out. But they made me feel so comfortable. It was an awesome experience. I had a lot of fun and something nice.
Where was that film?
When? No, that was like 5 weeks ago.
Where?
Oh, in Bethpage, actually, in the new studios they got over there.
All right, cool, man. So is this something like in the future you can see yourself? I mean, you have a long career left. You're in your prime right now, but in the future you're going to, you know, you think you can get an acting bug, get on, do like a UFC thing or be like in showbiz?
I think so, man. I mean, I had the connections before. I've had some awesome opportunities come my way, and it was kind of one of those things. It's like, you know, after fighting, obviously, you want to be able to supplement the income you're making now with and make it, you know, in the same ballpark. And acting is a kind of good outlet to do that. So I had these opportunities, but I never really felt like, you know, I was obsessed or could get really passionate about it. But
okay.
I'm doing this. This episode, I got into it. I think I could really, it was a lot of fun.
That's great, and you were great, for sure, a real natural. So, man, thanks again. I look forward to seeing you fight Saturday. All the best. Long Island is pulling for you. You know you got that. You got a lot of friends and family coming to the Garden?
Yeah, I'm going to have a lot of support. It's awesome, man. A lot of people haven't been able to watch me live over the years, so they finally get to do that.
All right, cool. I'm going to try to seek out the section where your crew is hanging and hopefully be around there for your fight. So, you know, best of luck. Thanks for coming on Sports Talk 1240, and we wish you all the best.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me on.
First things first.
Yep, and that was Chris Wyman. Now, we know now, because that interview was taped on Thursday, we know now that Chris lost the fight, didn't go down without a battle. That guy, he said it, that Joel Romero, he fought, explosive dude, caught him with like a knee or something in the head. But it was nutty. So that's a bit about Chris. He's a fun guy. Really enjoyed that interview. He was an actor. He's getting the acting bug, and who knows where you're gonna see this guy. A lot of guys start sports and go to acting. Everybody. So that was a little bit about the UFC. Of course, Conor McGregor ended up doing his thing, winning that fight easily. I think he won it. Second round TKO. I mean, the place was bananas. I thought we were in Ireland when we were watching this fight. It was bananas. Afterward was bananas. The celebrations were insane. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning last night. The garden was crazy. Oh, we saw Plaxico Burress. He was in the celebration with all these dudes, all these UFC guys, like jumping up and down. You can check me on Instagram at Team Vivolo, and have a little bit of like kind of follow my Instagram story or my pictures, and you can see kind of the experience of last night. And again, the Sports Sizzle TV YouTube video will be up this week. All right. Coming up next on WGBB 1240, Sports Talk 1240, what are we going to talk about? I would love to hear your phone calls. Talk to me, 631-888-8811. We are open to talk about everything. I told you we're having good buddy / New York Rangers aficionado coming on in a couple of minutes to speak about when and how and if the New York Rangers are going to win the Stanley Cup this year, who is going to be in their way, and what we can look forward to, and what pieces of the New York Rangers this year have come together to create this team that is off to an awesome start and is really like electrifying. You can't get into the Garden for a Ranger game, man. You can't. I mean, I know a couple of people with Ranger tickets. Hottest ticket right now. Knick game, opposite. I don't know. There probably has been a time, but I can't think off the top of my head a moment in, I guess, like, you know, last year, whatever, when they went to the Stanley Cup, but when they went to the Cup Finals and lost, but playoffs don't count. Like, during the regular season, I don't remember a time when the Knicks tickets and the Rangers tickets were so polar opposite to get into the, and like, you know, the Knicks, whatever, they're a work in progress, as we say. They're not terrible. They're getting some W's. But, you know, we'll have to see. What they have to do is mesh. Hornacek has to let these guys play a little bit more. I think that's the thing we hear about out there in the number one in the Twitter world, sports talk radio, and just some people I talk to on a daily basis. It's what is – are we comfortable with Hornacek sitting Melo and Porzingis and Derrick Rose at the same time so much? 10, 15 minutes of the game, they're on the bench. They're not even playing. None of them. Like, they're all sitting at this time. All right, you know, rest one, rest two. But all three, I mean, this is the heart and soul of your team right now. So that's a big question we've been going back and forth with Knicks fans. But I don't really worry. You know, we have a superstar in Porzingis. The guy's a superstar. We have a superstar in Carmelo Anthony. Yes, he's aging superstar. We have a small window left with him. But this team's going to be in the playoffs. I wouldn't. I mean, I'd like to hear your thoughts. Again, 631-888-8811. Your thoughts on the Knicks. Your thoughts on the roster. Your thoughts on the moves. Your thoughts on Derrick Rose, who's playing like 25 minutes a game. I'm actually going to get that. Let's see. Derrick Rose, minutes per game. Let's see what you guys think. Let's see. What do you think? I don't know. Derrick Rose stats, 2016. He's not bad. 19 points a game? Is that right? Oh, no, that's a career. I don't know. We need a couple more parts to the team, but, like, this team, we're not going to compete with the Cavaliers. Let's not be silly. We're not going to compete with, I don't even think, like, the Celtics. We went up there. We got smacked around by Boston last week. They're good. Toronto, they're going to be good. Well, I'm not saying the Knicks are going to be the top three. They might be. They're going to be in the playoffs. They could be a 7-8 seed. Why not? Derrick Rose this season, 15 points a game, 4.9 assists, 4.3 rebounds. That's pretty good. Minutes per game, 30. So he's guys on the bench for 18 of minutes. I mean, that's like, what is that? Real quick. He's sitting roughly 40% of the game. But you have to. You know, we know that you have to be careful with that role. He has paper knees. okay, we'll get to some Knicks. Take your calls. We'll get to some Jets. We'll get to some Giants. Oh, man, the poor Jets. The poor Jets, man. This was my day today. So I got not the most sleep, as you can imagine, leaving the garden at 2 a.m. last night, waking up with three kids jumping on me, playing Superman, and whatever we were doing this morning. Went over to watch some football with my brother, my brother-in-law, my family. And the question was this. The question was, fantasy football question. Would you start Brandon Marshall? This is, you know, obviously this is like I say noon. Your choice. One, you have to play one guy. Brandon Marshall of the Jets or Cole Beasley of the Dallas Cowboys. Now, the Jets are playing the Rams. Okay. The Rams stink too. The Cowboys, as many of you have just seen, ended a little while ago, are playing the Pittsburgh Steelers. So at noon, this is what I say. I say, listen, there's no way this should be even a question. This is Cole Beasley should be in your lineup, your fantasy lineup. 100% of it. This isn't even a thought. Brandon Marshall, he's a great receiver. Don't get me wrong. Brandon Marshall's a great receiver. Today was not the day for Brandon Marshall, and I said that from the beginning. Bryce Petty, first start of his career. A team that I don't even know where to start with the problems the Jets have. And running game, Blog Powell, Matt Forte, they're good. They're good running. They're going to run the ball. It's Bryce Petty. This is his first career start. The guy's a rookie, right? He's well unproven. What do you think he's going to do? You think Brandon Marshall's going to go for 120 and a touchdown? And Bryce Petty threw. Then, so I said, that's ridiculous. Cole Beasley all day. That game's going to be played. The Pittsburgh-Dallas game's going to be played. High-scoring game. This game is going to – the Jets-Rams is going to be – exactly. This is a direct quote. That game's going to be 3-3. It's going to be 6-6. It's going to be miserable. No, neither teams can do anything this year. Forget about it. My brother-in-law chooses to put in Brandon Marshall. I told him. I was like, you played Marshall, didn't you? He's like, I did. So Brandon Marshall, Bryce Petty. So then we set the over-under on Bryce Petty's passing yards. We set the over-under at 160. My brother, Jet fan, buys the over. I'm like, you know what? I think that's a little low. I would say not over 200. I say 190. Bryce Petty at the end of the day, 163. So our over-under was right on Bryce Petty's passing yards. Brandon Marshall, one catch for 15 yards. That's what it was. I think it was one or two catches four catches, 15 yards. That's what Brandon Marshall's day was. Cole Beasley's day, five catches, not much better. Five catches for 33 yards. So, whatever. I mean, Beasley beats out Brandon Marshall a little bit. I was right on that. But those weren't two great choices. But, man, these Jets, woo, stink pie. I mean, that game was ridiculous. You know, and, you know, we were family. The kids were running around. So, I didn't get, like, a great chance. If the Giants were playing today, it would have been really annoying because I was running back and forth chasing the baby. But today, that Jet game was absurd. I mean, we were watching, what was the other game? The Saints. What was the other game on Fox? It was the Saints-Denver game, which was, again, absurd. So, man, these Jets have a lot of work to do. They're 3-7 now. I really don't have anything to say about them. Bart Scott, who I saw last night, Bart Scott, he said the same thing. He said, it is what it is. Everyone knows this has been beat like a dead horse, beat to death. We know that. Bryce Petty, maybe, is he the answer? No. There's a very big, very big quarterback issue. There's a little bit of a defensive line issue now with these guys. Who are these two guys? Mo Wilkerson, like, he's not, like, what, you have zero sacks? The big free agent? The Jets are a mishmash. We'll get to the Giants after the break, and then we'll get to the Rangers after the break. But, boy, that Jet game was brutal. If there's any disgruntled Jet fans out there, I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear what your thoughts are on this team. Are you going to stick with them? I mean, it's easy. I'd rather be a 3-7 Jets team and just know my season's over and know that we're going to give Bryce Petty a shot and know that, geez, I don't know, maybe draft a quarterback. I don't know. But give me a call after the break, 631-888-8811. ¶¶
listening to Sports Talk 1240 on Long Island's AM 1240. WGBB.
Country Foot Care, official podiatrists of the New York Lizards, have been delivering state-of-the-art foot care with good old-fashioned caring to Long Island residents for over 30 years. Specialists in sports medicine and foot injuries, Country Foot Care can be reached at 516-741-FEET or online at countryfootcare.com.
Want to advertise your business on Sports Talk 1240? Place an ad on sportstalk1240.com and run a radio commercial during the show every Sunday night here on AM 1240 WGBB. Our rates are very affordable. We'll even produce the radio commercial for you. Just head over to sportstalk1240.com and fill out the contact us form and let us start promoting your business today.
Unflippable, unflappable, unleakable. The Gustbuster is the only umbrella that won't flip inside out, rip, tear, or leak. Capable of withstanding winds over 55 miles per hour. All of our umbrellas are constructed of the finest quality materials and backed by a limited lifetime guarantee. What are you waiting for? Visit Gustbuster.com and get your Gustbuster today.
Stay connected to Sports Talk 1240 by following us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Sports Talk 1240.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240, broadcasting every Sunday night beginning at 8 p.m. right here on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB, the station that serves your community. And now, back to the show.
All right. Late night listeners of Sports Talk 1240, my name is Mike Vivolo. At Twitter, I am Team Vivolo. On Instagram, I am Team Vivolo. Listen, not to toot my own horn, I have a pretty cool Instagram account. I'm telling you, like I said earlier, I like to interact with celebrities and sports figures and with sports media guys. Last night, met a bunch at the UFC. You know who I ran into on the street on Friday? AJ Soprano, Robert Iyer. We just talked for a little bit. I'm like, yo, man, I haven't seen you in a thing since Sopranos. I mean, nothing. What do you do now? Oh, I moved to Vegas. I play poker. That's what, if anyone wants to know what AJ Soprano does these days, that's what he's doing, FYI. Shout out to Rob Iyer, good dude. But, yeah, man, follow me on Instagram at me. We'll have some fun. So follow me on Twitter. Also, call in, man. Let's call in. Let's get some talk going. I know you're probably all sleeping. If I was home, I'd probably be sleeping. Although this game, can we get a score check on that? We're going to ask, in a second, I'm going to have my buddy come on. We're going to talk some Rangers, and maybe he can give me a score check on the Seattle-New England game. We will do that real quick before we call in. If any of any Rangers questions, Giants questions, 631-888-8811. And now, we welcome for his first appearance on the show, Mr. X, Mr. Chris Carulli, our New York Rangers insider. What's up, buddy?
How's it going, Mike?
How are you?
Good.
So, what is the score of the Seattle-New England game?
I wish I could help you on that one.
All right, I can just look it up here in a second. All right, so give me this. So, how excited on a scale of 1 to 100, how excited are you for this Rangers team this season after a very small sample size of games?
Oh,
being a disgruntled, sort of very passionate, you know, Rangers fan that you are, you've been with them through the ups and downs. Scale of 1 to 100.
I'm trying to temper my expectations.
Okay.
I am way more excited than I should be 15 games into the season, let's put it that way.
Right, okay. Well, that's good, though. I mean, so give me a number.
I said 87 and a half.
Oh, that's kind of high, dude.
I told you, I'm way more excited than I should be this early.
Okay, as for some scale, you're also a Giant fan, as I know.
Yep.
What's your, now it's halfway through the season, what is your Giants playoff excitement scale, same scale?
Oh, way lower.
Of course.
50, 55.
50? All right. So,
I mean, they got a good chance of making the playoffs, but the thing with the Rangers that you're seeing now this early in the season is that they just have a look. You know, like,
yeah,
you don't see that with a lot of teams. They got a look to them that makes you excited.
And who has been, you know, to be completely honest, I don't see, you're a hockey guy, so you're a hockey player, you study hockey. I don't see what is it that you're seeing out there that just like, you say they have that look. That's great. I get that about sports and teams when you see them. Like, you know who has, like, that look? Was the Kings, like, right? When the Kings went on their run, was that yet last year?
Yeah.
They had that look. You're like, wow, the playoffs, like, they're good. What makes it? I mean, speed? Is that kind of one of the main?
For them right now and the way the NHL is today, yes, speed.
Speed.
I mean, that's the number one thing. But even when the Rangers have been really good the last few seasons.
Mm-hmm.
But when they were doing it, it was more grunt, blue collar effort kind of good. This team is a fast, young, skilled team. I mean, I don't remember seeing a Rangers team score like they score since maybe the early 90s, if they even did it then. I mean, it was a totally different game, so it's hard to judge. But,
okay.
Just speed, youth. They got a lot of young players that, last year they, as fans, we were hoping certain players were going to take the next step, Kreider, Hayes, Miller. They had decent years. They were okay for the most part, but they didn't take that next step to the next level. They already seem like this year that they've taken that step, and, again, 15 games in, 14 games in, so
that's true.
Who knows what we're talking about in February.
Right. But, I mean, also injuries they've avoided, which is nice. Who has been the – so like you said, you mentioned those guys, and they've kind of taken a step that we've been waiting for. Who has taken a step or a great leap more on the unexpected side?
Well, they signed Grabner in the offseason, who's a former Islander.
Okay.
Last year, I think he was in Toronto. He scored maybe 8 goals on the year. I think he's already got 8 or 9 this year.
Okay, yeah, there you go.
And he's a fourth-line winger. I mean, that's one of the big things with this team is the balance across all 4 lines. I mean, they throw any line on the ice, and they're a scoring threat.
8 goals, 3 assists.
Say that again.
8 goals, 3 assists, Grabner.
Yeah, and I think he scored 8 all year last year.
You do. I like that you mentioned him because you do know that we're in Long Island. We're in Islander territory out here.
I am aware.
We're aware. I'm just doing this like this is my hour, so I'm gonna bring to what I'm a fan of. So the Rangers are great. Everyone's very excited. Now the question is about the Rangers. This Montreal team is also equally as good. I mean, they seem to be. Did they lose? Are they undefeated? Is there an undefeated NHL team?
I think maybe they have an overtime loss.
Okay. So that's pretty interesting. As far as like the Atlantic Division is concerned, and now we're in the Rangers are in this Metropolitan. When did the Metropolitan Division come about? Has that always been
changed like 8 times in the last 4 years? I think I don't know.
Oh, okay. This is another reason. You want to keep your fans around? Like, come on. So you got the Penguins. So who are the teams to beat here? You got definitely the Canadiens because they're just like insane. And is it the Penguins?
Yeah, I haven't gotten to see the Canadiens play yet. I mean, obviously I follow the standings and, I see highlights here and there, but I haven't watched them play. I mean, they're firing off cylinders. Clearly I think they're like 10-1 or whatever they are.
Yeah, 13-1.
But I haven't seen them play, so I don't know how they're playing and, to compare them to the Rangers.
Got it.
I mean, obviously Pittsburgh is always a threat. It's the West Coast teams are, I mean, the Rangers are on a 5-game road trip right now. It'll be nice to see how they stack up against some of the West Coast teams, even though I'm not sure I don't remember their schedule, but I don't even know if they see the Kings or the Sharks or anybody on this trip.
When you say that on the West Coast, there is like a different, like obviously the Kings are still good and they still can do their thing. I'm looking at the record right now. They're 7-8-1, which I guess is not good. But they're hanging around. When you look at this team as a complete team, I want to move on to a little football with you too. When we look at this Rangers team as a team, is it just hoping for more of the same? Is it that easy to say? I mean, as a sports fan in general, someone who maybe is not like the most up to date on, like you said, how the game has changed and now speed is the thing. Is it just easy to say, all right, just stay the course? Do this throughout the year, or is there things that happen throughout the season that are like, all right, this needs to happen. I need to see this improve if we're going to make a real, real run.
Yeah, I mean, you're obviously going to have that. First of all, injuries is an obvious factor as the season goes along. One thing that they're starting to do this year that I thought was one of their big mistakes last year is giving some of the older players some rest here and there, giving Girardi a day off here and there, using some of the younger defensemen to, you know, the Rangers have played more games in the last 5 years than any team in the league with their playoff runs.
Okay.
They're just beaten up by the time they get to the end of the season. I mean, as is any NHL team.
Sure, sure, sure. So you're saying you like that they're doing that now?
Yes.
Got it. Okay. Makes sense. Yep. Makes sense.
And obviously, playoff hockey is different, you know. The one thing that kind of tempers my expectations with this team is it's great to watch them score 5 goals a game and fly all over the ice and make all these pretty passing plays, but that stuff has a tendency to disappear in the playoffs a little bit, and it becomes more of that those grunt goals and, you know, the stuff in front of the net and deflections and rebounds, and the pretty stuff kind of disappears for the most part.
So what do you think? So how, I mean, so the NHL playoffs is 16 teams. Is it 8-8? Right, that's how it is.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, top four seeds get the home ice, and home ice is a monster. Is that a monster advantage?
Not like it used to be. I mean, I guess, you know, like any sport, if it's game seven, it makes a difference.
Yeah. Okay.
But I think home ice kind of everywhere has or home field, whatever sport it is,
has changed.
It's really dependent on the team. And I mean, look at the Giants. I don't have a problem if they're a wild card. I'd rather them be on the road.
Right. Oh, good transition. Beautiful. See, you're natural for this. Check this out.
Yeah.
This is what happened today. Now we're going to quick touch go to football because I don't want to let you go without talking about the Giants and talking about the things that happened today that are affecting the Giants. Now, initially, like you said, I don't mind the Giants to be a wild card. Now, the Jets, forget it. We don't have to talk about them anymore. I spoke about them a little bit. They're done. The season's over. The Giants are – season is much – is very not over, whatever you want to say. But
yeah.
Things that happened today on paper look bad, but I'm thinking it's actually good.
Well, I didn't get a chance to dive into it. I saw the results, but
this is what happened.
I'm open to your explanation.
This is my explanation, okay? These are the teams that won today, and these are the teams that lost. And so you initially you're like, oh crap. The teams that won today: Dallas, not good. Redskins, not good. Eagles, not good. Right, everyone in our division won. So that would look like, oh, well, that's the worst possible case scenario. Not necessarily true. The Redskins and the Eagles, we're not really chasing the Redskins and the Eagles. I don't look at if the Giants are going to make the playoffs, we're going to have to win our own games. The Eagles and the Redskins are going to lose their share of games. If they go on some kind of epic run, then whatever. But I'm not really worried about them when we have a team in our division that's 8-1 now. Are we going to catch Dallas? I mean, anything could happen. But they're 8-1. We're the Giants. Giant fans, we should see we're wild card bound. At this very moment, after what happened an hour ago, after Pittsburgh inexplicably lost that game, that was a crazy game. It's wild card time for the Giants, just like you said. So it was a perfect transition. This is the teams that lost today. Let's see here. The Minnesota Vikings fall to 5-4. The Green Bay Packers fall to 4-5. The Falcons fall to 6-4. The Saints fall to 4-5. Did Arizona win? I don't know about them.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, the Rams, they won. All those teams are going to be in the wild card. There's going to be, let's see, right now the Lions are winning the North, which is a joke. The North looks terrible. The Falcons are winning the South, but you never know who's going to come out of there because even though Carolina lost today, they can go on a run at any moment. The Buccaneers win? I don't know. Anyway, there's a jumble. There's a big jumble.
My argument with your theory is that I don't think any of those teams is good as Philly or Washington or the Giants. So I think it's still going to come down to – I think you could probably get – I don't – can you get two wild cards out of the East?
You can. Yeah, you could. Right. So it could be Dallas with the division and two wild cards
from
the East.
I don't know if any of those other teams are going to matter outside of winning their division. So if that's the case, then, you know, I want to see those East teams lose.
Well, of course it is, but we played them too again, you know.
Yeah.
We play Dallas again. I don't like almost Dallas came on way, but we play Washington again. We play Philly again, so we have that. And then we have the Giants. As I say, we have a great schedule. We have the Bengals tomorrow night. W. Chicago
you
the next week.
Throw that up a little quicker than I do.
Chicago the next week. W. The Browns the week after. W.
Yeah, that Browns game is the most terrifying game on our schedule.
No, I mean, hey, listen, the Giants, we know, any Giant fan knows, you're right. Tomorrow night, A.J. Green can go for like 15 and like 250 tomorrow night against us. That's easy. but we're gonna we.
The problem with doing the Francesa Mad Dog look ahead on the schedule and just putting W's and L's in the column is that the Giants play to the exact level of their competition, no matter who they are.
That's true, so but no,
nothing is ever a guaranteed win or loss. Or it should be a win or loss.
Making some moves now, making some time management decisions that are a little bit better than last year, that could possibly put us in a better position, like we did. Like
since you mentioned that, what are your thoughts so far on the coaching this year?
Play calling is still bad. I think just the play calling that goes under the New York Giants is just good. I mean, I used to yell at Gilbride for 60 minutes every Sunday. And, you know, these Eli, you know, 3rd and 10, 8-yard passes, you know, 3rd and 13 draw plays, all those type of weird stuff. 1st and goal, fade to the corner. 2nd and goal, fade to the corner. 3rd and goal, run 2 yards.
So are we chalking this up to learning curve, or at what point can we start to put a grade on the new head coach?
Okay, grade a new head coach. Now you're asking me the question. The grade on the coach. because we're 5-3, and because tomorrow night if we win, can I wait till say if we can get to, if at any point in the season we're 6-3, which would be if we win tomorrow night, then he's going to get a B. If we lose tomorrow night, it's going to be bad, because you know Cincinnati's not going to blow it. Either way, a loss is going to be horrible tomorrow night, and then I'll have to maybe put him on like a C+, I guess. But if he wins tomorrow night, he's a solid B. If we get a W tomorrow night, like we should, like that's the type of thing. That's what I'm talking about that's a W. If you want to be a playoff team, if we want them to be a playoff team, this is a W. The next three games are W's. This is an 8-3 football team going into December, or whatever. Definitely. Chris, man, awesome having you on, bro.
All right, it's good to talk to you.
We will have you on again. I'm gonna pencil you in. We're gonna do a kind of like a not midseason because it can be past that, but next show we're gonna do like an awards, NFL awards. We'll probably have like a standard MVP, in most improved type stuff, but I'm also gonna throw around some like funny awards, and we'll have a round robin. Maybe we'll get some other guests to come on for that too.
All right, sounds good.
Thank you for your Rangers insight. Thank you for your Giants insight. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, talk to you soon, man. Bye.
Chris Carulli, ladies and gentlemen. That guy's fire right there. Right, Brian? I mean, come on, the personnel on that guy, right? A good Italian. I know he's not watching the football game. Can't help me with the football game. I want to look at the football game. Come on. Can't help me with the football game. What? Come on. Anyone know what the score is? All right, so this is what I heard the other day, which is a very interesting tidbit. So out here on Long Island, check this out. Out here on Long Island, we're like midway out the island. People don't know Long Island's long. If Long Island was a state in by itself, it would be the 11th most populated state in the country. If Long Island was its own state, that would mean that if Trump could win Long Island, he can win by even more electoral votes, because we would probably get like, I don't know, 15. What's the 11th? Whatever the 11th most populous state in the country is. And how many electoral votes they get. That's crazy, right? So anyway, out here on Long Island, there's like, I don't know, how many millions of people? 7, 10 million, or whatever. Ridiculous. And the very end of Long Island, the very eastern end of Long Island, I was talking to my buddy about this the other day, and he said, he's a Giant fan. He said, yeah, but my parents and my uncles are Boston fans. They're Red Sox, they're Patriots fans, and they're Celtics fans, and they're Bruins fans. How do you grow up in New York and be all Boston fan, but you yourself. So he grew up out in the town east, like east of Riverhead, even east, more east. He said because on the tip of Long Island, and this makes perfect sense. Back in the day, the only radio stations you can get were New England radio stations because it's right down. So the people who grew up, you'll find you go out east, and if you go like talk to some old school people, like the older generation, there's a lot of New England fans out there. I thought that was very interesting. So that was I'm gonna have to throw a couple tidbits at you in the last 10 minutes here. That was one of my tidbits. The states, the Long Island being big, everyone knows it's really populated, but that's funny. It was interesting to learn that, like, you know, this guy's grandfather was diehard Red Sox fan. I was like, what are you talking about? You live on Long Island? Well, he moved west His grandfather and his whole family moved west. He's a diehard wrestling fan. Very, 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 very. I just got a note that Grabner just scored his 9th goal of the season, and for the Rangers. And I, you know, that was a is that a kick? I don't know. Did he do well for the Islanders? I don't know. So Chris just informed me, Grabner, goal number 9. I'm gonna ask him what's the stupid score of this game. I don't know, for some reason I can't get on my phone. Next tidbit of info for you gambling folks out there. I like to, at this point in the season, and especially in the new NFL, the parity in the NFL, if you want to bet, this is the bet I like to bet at, in football season. I'm not a huge guy, I'm a big fantasy guy, but I'm not like, I talked with my brother today who does like a pick'em league and a knockout league. I've done a knockout once or twice, but I'm not like that. I do a pick'em league every week because, you know what he said? This is what my brother said to me. He's like, I do a pick'em league because it was part of this thing. It was $100. We put it in. And, it's a huge pool and then, you know, whatever. You pick your every game every week. And he has now, he puts $100 in the beginning of the season, so he has to fill it out. It makes no sense to not fill it out. So every week he does an entry. He lets his 2-year-old daughter now pick the pick'ems every week because he said, no matter what I do, I can't win. I'm 8-8 every week. I'm 7-9 every week. If I study for a whole week and I really analyze it, I'm 7-9. If I wing it, pick it out of the hat, I'm 7-9. He lets his daughter, now he has a 3-month-old son, lets him, they figured out some, you know, funny way for them to grab to pick the teams. So that stuff I don't do. But the tidbit of information I have for you today is that I learned from a Vegas friend of buddy of mine who is a Vegas sports book guy who does like prop betting and some of that. To win the Super Bowl, odds to win the Super Bowl, the New England Patriots versus the field, that is one team against all other 31 teams, is even, and the money is starting to come in on the Patriots. I mean, that is scary. I don't think I've ever heard anything like that. The parity in the NFL is so bananas right now, and I know people don't like it. I mean, it's blatantly obvious that people don't like what's going on with the parity in the NFL, but wow. That is crazy. Yeah, anyone could catch anyone on any given day. The Giants did their runs, and those, you know, they were a wild card team, and they did their runs. They beat the undefeated Patriots, right? That team was pretty nuts. This team is different. I bet if you had this same bet, we could probably find this out. I'll find it out this week, and maybe I'll bring it up next week. If we had this same bet, the Patriots against the field in 2007, when they were undefeated, I still think it wouldn't be tipped in this favor because the Patriots this season have separated themselves from the rest of the NFL. The Dallas, I don't believe in Dallas. They have a weak schedule. Yeah, they're 8-1. They have the same record as Patriots. Patriots are so far and away better in their 2000 undefeated season. They were far and away better, but I don't think they were as far away. I think there were teams that could got them. The Giants got them, but I'm saying like there was explosive teams out there. I think the Saints were probably explosive. The Colts with Peyton Manning were explosive back then. Aaron Rodgers the Favre Packers. They could run with those Patriots. They didn't beat them. The Patriots went undefeated in the regular season. They went 18-0 and then they lost in the Super Bowl to the G-Men, but you know what I'm saying. So anyway, the Patriots against the field, it's even odds. And money's coming in on the Patriots. That's very, 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 very interesting. That's tidbit number 2. We'll stop talking about the Patriots now. Tidbit number 3. Tomorrow night. Big night. Yeah, the Giants need a W. But more importantly, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who do not know this, my man, my favorite Giant of all time, I am 36 years old. So I grew up in the 80s as a kid. I didn't get to see Lawrence Taylor. I didn't get to experience Lawrence Taylor. I watched him on YouTube. I know he was awesome. I know he was the best. I know he was probably the best defensive player of all time. I understand that. I agree based on but I didn't get to see him play. Go on the roller coaster ride with him. I went on the roller coaster ride with the 2000, then the late 90s, the early 2000s, the 2000 and the two Super Bowl recent runs of the Giants. And those were my guys. Justin Tuck is my guy. He's my favorite Giant of all time. I have a couple Justin Tuck jerseys. I do have an LT jersey. I have a Phil Simms jersey. Represent the greats. Justin Tuck is my favorite Giant of all time. Tomorrow night, him and I love Parcells because what he did, he's an amazing coach. But Coughlin, he might be my guy as far as a coach. So Tuck and Coughlin going into the Ring of Honor tomorrow night. I implore Giant fans to turn the game on. It's primetime Monday Night Football. I implore you to watch this because that's real. That's real New York Giant history right here. Tuck, I forget how long was he on the Giants. I don't know, probably like 8 seasons, I would say, something like that. Best guess. Did his year or two with the Raiders. Now he's back in action. I think he's going to school. I'd love to get Justin Tuck on this. We're gonna try really hard to get Justin Tuck on this radio show. I think I could do it. All right, crazier things have happened. So Coughlin Tuck going in the Ring of Honor tomorrow night. I think it's pre-game. I'm not sure. You gotta check the stat on that. If it's before the game or at halftime when they do the Ring of Honor, I'm not sure. But check that out. I was hoping to be there. I'm not going to be there. A couple of friends of mine are going to be there. It's going to be awesome. Going to the Ring of Honor, it's a big honor. There's another guy going in. Ernie Accorsi, the architect of the whole team. So, big night tomorrow night. I wish I could be there. Can't do it. Went to the UFC. Kind of, cashed in all my chips at the UFC last night. Well worth it. The UFC was bananas. It's 10 o'clock on a Sunday. I know you probably don't want to hear about this any longer. But listen, tweet at me at Team Vivalo. Instagram me at Team Vivalo. Follow my YouTube channel, The Sports Sizzle TV. It's really fun. You're going to like it. I love hearing from fans. I go back and forth with people on Instagram and Twitter all the time. Funny stuff. If you're a fan of, if you have something you think you can add to the show, I'd love to talk to passionate sports fans, just like my friend Chris earlier. A big thank you to the UFC as a whole. The people over there did a great job at granting me a little bit of access to some of the players, including Long Island's own Chris Weidman. So thank you, Chris, for coming on the show. Looking forward to seeing you, back in the octagon as soon as possible. We are, like I said, bananas in the last night. Let's see if I can play one clip. Okay, so this is the end. I will send this out slowly with a couple clips from last night. Hopefully there's no curses on here. I don't think there are because it's just too loud and crazy. But I interviewed a couple fans, and every one of them was just cursing so much. So I apologize if there's not going to be curses. I know what these are. Hold on, here's one.
Hello!
McGregor! These guys were Irish flags, and this is at the end. So when you walked out of the garden, by the way, I walked out with Plaxico Burress, me and him, hand in hand. This is what was the ensuing. Yeah, I have a couple more. I'll tweet them out later on today or tomorrow, and go back and forth. But for now, thank you for tuning into Sports Talk 1240. My name is Mike Vivalo. It's been my pleasure to be here tonight. Again, hit us up whenever you need. No calls again. Zero calls. Everyone's sleeping. It's a long weekend. Going into Thanksgiving next weekend. I will be back the Sunday after Thanksgiving. That is the 27th of November. We're going to do some funny football stuff, some Thanksgiving stuff. We're going to get a bigger crowd here to come on. And we're going to take some calls next week. Thank you very much. Thank you to Brian Graves, my man. Appreciate it. Sports Talk 1240. Over and out.
The views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.